New Thinking Aloud is presented by the California Institute for Human Science, Mind, Body, Spirit University. Visit their website at cihs.edu.
Thinking Aloud. Conversations on the leading edge of knowledge and discovery with psychologist Jeffrey Mishlove.
Hello and welcome. I'm Emmy Vadnais, co-host with Jeffrey Mishlove. Our topic today is accessing psychic holograms with my guest, Olga Strushin, who is a medical doctor, doctor of acupuncture, researcher, teacher, and healer. She underwent training in the Subtle Energy Research Laboratory founded by the USSR Ministry of Space, where she learned how to diagnose and heal using subtle energy. Olga is author of Subtle Energy, Information to Enhance, Guide, and Heal. If you enjoy this program, please like, subscribe, press the bell icon, and share. This is Olga's second interview on New Thinking Aloud. She's joining us from Toronto, Canada. Now I'll switch over to the internet video. Welcome, Olga. It's a pleasure to have you back with me on New Thinking Aloud today.
Amy, I'm so happy. Thank you for inviting me again, for our opportunity for us to talk more about this incredible subject, vibrational world of subtle energy.
In our first conversation, I'll link to that in the upper right corner of the screen. We talked about your journey from being a medical doctor in USSR and going to the Subtle Energy Research Laboratory, training with Vadim Polyakov, learning all about subtle energy to diagnose and heal. Today, we're going to go a little more deeply into some of the methods that you have used to do that. And more importantly, we're also going to explore how this can help people in their lives to make good decisions and just overall have a better life.
Perfect.
To get us started, there are several different types of holograms. And today we're going to be talking about the holograms that you work with subtle energy psychically, going into what might be referred to as the cosmic hologram, the Akash. Sometimes people refer to it as the Akashic Records, or we can access information that we're not always aware about. And there's also holograms that can be seen sort of like in a projection of a film. Can you share a little bit about what you mean by a hologram?
For that, we need to go to Bohm a little bit, back to Bohm, who said that universe itself is a gigantic hologram. And we talked last time that he saw the world in two levels. One that we see with our eyes, world of solidity, where everything looks separately existing, the world where we are born and eventually die, and that world he called explicate order, and deepest level of reality, where it's subatomic, there are no particles. He called it implicate order, with a specific field that he called a quantum potential field. It's a kingdom for that field. This energy doesn't have property of location. This energy doesn't have property of direction. It's everywhere. The most interesting that energy, and that will be very important in understanding holograms, this energy, this field, that in our vocabulary, because it's so many different terms, right, for this vast, vast subject. I would say for our vocabulary, in our vocabulary, it would be vibrational world of subtle energy that he called quantum potential field. This field carries all possible programs for all possible existences in the world. Mm-hmm. To understand how, what is it? We need to go quickly through a couple principles of subtle energy that we already know about, this incredible energy that is everywhere. Nothing can stop this energy from functioning because it's everywhere and the direction not involved. What else is important to say is that this energy is not electromagnetic in nature. And this is very important to understand. This energy doesn't work under laws of conventional physics. Absolutely, it doesn't work there. And what else we need to know, that everything is vibrating. We said it at subatomical level. Everything is vibrating, and how things vibrate, it is important information that we can train. If we become curious about it, we talk about extreme curiosity that is a prerequisite to go into this field. We can train ourselves to evaluate. What does it mean? What is it related to in our realm? These vibrations carry information. So what is more to say before getting into hologram? That everything has double nature of a particle and a vibrational part that we call aura. Everything is vibrating with not electromagnetic type of vibrations. We have to be aware of that. We can't measure it. We cannot go with any instrument to analyze it. It's only us human beings who have these instruments to use. Of course, animals too and plants too. But we're talking about this small circle of human beings. The shtick about these vibrations, they form auras. But they have life of their own. And every vibration goes somewhere and stored there. And this is, we are coming to holograms that Bohm was talking about. It's a deepest level of reality that works as a hologram. The foundation of the hologram, as normally we would kind of, this is a metaphor, but it can be better than that one. Although David Bohm didn't call them holograms, it's for our more simple usage. He was talking about holo movements, because real holograms, when they recorded on a plate, and it could be many, many, many of them, one upon another, recorded, and they are forever, okay? They are not changing. But David Bohm's vision, it's a holo movements, because they come out and they go back to the plate, and it's a non-stop movement. And we can catch a certain moment of what we want to analyze and will be able, but it's a movement back and forth into the plate, which is a vibrational world of subtle energy. In nature, 3D holograms that we would be operating with, like I operated with them in daily life all the time, many, many times a day, because it's a part of my living now, already for many, many years. But these 3D holograms, images, they do not exist in nature. In that deepest level of reality, it's like a regular plate with recorded images, it's a 2D. What to make them active and 3D is our thought factor. Okay? The moment when we start to think about something that we already been dealing in our life. This is how our memory works. We, our even kind of lazy thought, even there, it has concentration, this thought, and it goes automatically into the, these relevant vibrations stored there, which are about past, present, and even future. Nothing disappears in universe in a form of vibrations. They are stored there, but they are not 3D forms. Moment when we start to think about something, oh, I met this woman such and such place, and immediately we have in our head a 3D image. It's a hologram, but we can train ourselves to pull out any kind of needed holograms to work with them, to analyze them and get navigating answers, even to act, to what to choose, everything. We can deal with holograms because everything could be expressed through its 3D form. Everything has a blueprint of a vibrational form, and we can turn it into hologram.
That's a fascinating way to describe how we can access our memories, where it's typically thought that, or conventionally, mainstream science, medicine, thinks that memory is in the brain.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Look, I even was not thinking about it until I got into the vibrational world of subtle energy. Where is it coming from? Of course, some studies at medical school, but they didn't raise huge curiosity. Okay, a part of the brain for this, for that, but it didn't sink into until I started to deal with vibrational world, mm-hmm. which we live in.
In your fabulous book, Subtle Energy, Information to Enhance, Guide, and Heal, I really enjoyed learning about how you trained in this method or developed yourself to hang a person's organ in the air, to use that as a hologram to get information about a person you were working with. Can you describe a little more about that?
Yeah, that was the very first days of my journey into the vibrational world of subtle energy at the laboratory in Russia, where the head of this laboratory had a goal to develop a system of diagnostic of people based on analyzing their organs, images of their organs. And for that, doctor or whatever who was doing that would not need to meet or talk to the patient. And this is what was the beginning of my training. I had no idea about this energy. Okay? I had no idea how it was functioning. It was a little bit here, little bit there, glimpse of to put together. This is, okay, it's not electromagnetic. It's because I can check somebody in Australia, his organs. And that was already fascination. From day number one, not knowing about this energy at all, I would say. It was fascination with a method that possibility, this energy gives us possibility to deal with that was holograms of organs. And I was very lucky being at the hospital, so I was able to check for myself Is it valuable? Is it a reliable method? Because what would you do? You think about a person's organ, and this is what I was doing. We were doing at the lab during our seminars, but this is what I was transferred to my 24-hour shift at the hospital territory. I would hide behind the wall and not talking, not seeing, had no idea how that person looked on a stretcher. If I had time, if nobody was, of course, in a horrible emergency, I would go behind the wall that nobody would see me doing like that. Because I would hang, let's say, thyroid, and then go lungs, and then go heart, and so on, so on, checking every organ, how it felt on my hand. This is how we were trained. We were trained to learn to evaluate how these sensations from vibrations of organs felt for us. And for me, it was already kind of organized. This is how it feels when organ is failing. This is when it's in inflammation, when tumor existing in the organ, or stones, because you cannot move freely. You kind of blocked by stone of gallbladder. Okay, it's everything physical. It's very physical, and this is what gives us possibility to learn about subtle energy, that it always has a physical sensation on us, even sometimes has emotional colors. But physical sensations, it's a reliable to start from. And having kind of idea of somebody on a stretcher, I would go to the person and go through my medical routine and send to tests. And I had to evaluate every person who had to have operation on as a wise internal medicine person. And so to be able to prove what I sensed on a during operation, when they've been coming after and saying this is what we saw. If it was something that I could have come up with. So it came out up that it was incredibly reliable method. And it's a heresy even to think about how somebody can come up with diagnosis not seeing a person. I would agree. It's absolutely nobody should do it unless they're trained.
Yeah. How long did it take you to be confident with the method and use it regularly with your patients? And I also understand you were doing lab tests and other kind of diagnostics. However, you mentioned in your book and in our other conversations that you didn't have some of the advanced technological diagnostic tools like MRIs or CT scans and so forth. So this was a method that enhanced your ability to help your patients.
Yeah. It took, by the way, I have a story, if I may. I became quite soon absolutely excited. Like after 3-4 24-hour shifts, okay? I became so excited with the reliability of that method that I ran that day to the laboratory, and I said, my God, this is working. And I will never forget his look at me. He didn't say anything, and look was very unpleasant, very unpleasant. So it happened that next day I forgot my book at the hospital, and I just dropped by to pick it up. And it was a team of surgeons. They already knew about my attempt, and they started to believe in me. because there was something that I prevent them from doing operation on a gallbladder, saying this is not that, it's a hepatitis. And so they knew. It was in a second kind of shift. So I came to pick up my book, and young surgeons that were my friends said, oh, please, let us show you one very, very sick person. Maybe you can think about something. And it was an unconscious old lady who was found in her apartment by her neighbors, and brought without any history, without any information about her. And they said, can you say something about her? And I checked her lungs, and one was completely kind of destroyed. Like didn't exist almost, okay? It was horrible. So I didn't go further down, okay? And I said, oh, this is a horrible pneumonia that was untreated, and this is why she reacts when you touch her abdomen. It could happen when it's a big pneumonia, then abdomen reacts like a pain. So I said, but it's lungs. So I said goodbye and went home. But something was kind of doubting, and I called them in a few hours and asked about this old lady, and they said that she died. They operated her own, and she died because her bowel was perforated in 100 places. It was a sepsis in her system. It was, but she had pneumonia too. So main thing was bowel, in reality, you know. So next day I'm coming to to that laboratory, and I say to Vadim, you know, I made a mistake. And he interrupted me, and he said, do you remember how I looked at you yesterday? Because you became too proud. And it's much more complex than you think. Now you got lesson. You've been punished. So that was unforgettable, you know. You do not jump into conclusion. You have to, some opinion, and then you need to look for other things and see if it's they supporting or maybe contradicting what you found, which was obvious.
In hindsight, do you think you just needed to be more thorough in that evaluation with the hologram? Or what do you think was missing there?
I just became so sure. I found the reason. That was it. In my shifts, I was going from top to bottom, but kind of giving consultation, my opinion, I was too frivolous, you know?
How many weeks or months did it take, and what training was involved in order for you to get confident and become more reliable using your diagnostic ability with these holograms?
Look, altogether, from day number one to leaving Russia, I was for a year and 8 months, 9 months in Leningrad, still in that laboratory. So it was... I would say 5-6 weeks of shift, but in between it was also training in the lab every Thursday when we were touching and evaluating of organs. So it was not a year, okay? It was maximum couple months.
Mm-hmm.
But it was dedication. That's a problem when people want to get into this subject, and they want results right away, and they get results right away. It's a very simple training of measuring the size of aura, which is incredibly important information. We can choose the best things about anything what we're checking, knowing that this aura should be large. Because the biggest aura speaks about quality of the object, superiority of quality, and health and vitality of a life object. They can do it right away, but they need to build everybody, not they, it was me too, right? We need to build a data bank of how different things vibrate. So to come up with this is failing, you need to touch few organs that would be in reality failing to know, yes, this is how it feels.
I like how you said that people will get results right away. However, your story demonstrates that we can get information, but sometimes we don't, in the beginning, may not feel into or listen or perceive all to really get all that information. So what can you share a little bit about your training that helped you develop this ability so that you could be more accurate?
That time, for almost 2 years, he never asked us to measure auras. For him, it was not, for some reason, not important. You come to that yourself. It's inevitable. You need to know what do you sense and what it means. But very important was training of movements of energy. We've touched that space is penetrated by streams of that energy. I'm not talking electromagnetic. I'm not talking about earth pulse. That is a well-known thing, but it's penetrated. So to be able to sense when this stream of energy coming down and then up, penetrating whatever empty space or you or person whom you're trying to analyze, where energy, how energy flows in that person, because we have that Abraham Hicks, right? Many interesting books and sessions that they do for people. They talk about vortices. If you into the vortices, vortex, you are fine. You as a human being fueled by real energy. But they never said what this vortex is. They say you have to be in a vortex. Or maybe I missed something. I was not following them extensively. But I was asking people who were following them, and there are people like that, and what is vortices? This is that stream of energy. And nobody knows what is this vortex is, but we can sense how this vortex comes to our top of the head, how it goes down inside our head, along the spine, into our extremities inside, in the middle, and then it turns its direction like heart. Systole, it pushes blood out, and then it's diastole, and it goes by weight, by through veins. It's two direction. It never goes the same time. First this, then that. First this and that. And the same with this energy. So it's that was a training because, as I said before, I was taking different places to. Without possibility to sit and meditate, to be able to acknowledge these streams. And streams are everywhere. So they are incredible thing to look in spaces and find the most powerful places where you've been traveling. And then you can imagine your power of thoughts, your thought factor can bring you outside into that place and do your meditation there, because you know this is a powerful, powerful energy.
Mm-hmm. Right. We can detect our energy and we can also impact it with our own thoughts or consciousness.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And it's not only vertical way, but it's from any object that you are put together. Because I have paintings on my walls, and if I don't think about them, and even I'm sitting at that wall, at the table, I'm not interacting with vibrations of that painting. But a moment when I look at it, when I start to think, oh, then that's good. Immediately, reaction starts. And vibrations from that painting or from the Buddha statues, whatever you want, you know it has energy and you can use it. Everything is practical. Besides, of course, it enhances our understanding of life tremendously. It cannot not to affect if we go deeper. You start to, priorities change inevitably. It's practical also guidance and practical applications. This is what is incredible.
Can you provide some suggestions on how a person can access these holograms psychically to enhance their own lives?
Yeah. I'm not going to talk about this diagnostic because, you know, being in medical field, I closed my office after 35 years or 33 years, okay, wellness counseling. You know that we're not allowed, unless we're medical doctors, to do diagnostic, to come up with idea. I was lucky that nobody informed about me to to officials, okay? It was... But it's important to understand. We have to be careful. So we can talk about methods of getting information using hologram.
Yeah, before you do that, I just want to quickly mention, Olga, that I've spoken with and interviewed a woman named Wendy Coulter, who is a medical intuitive. And she actually will work with physicians. So she's not, I don't even think she's a licensed anything in healthcare per se, other than a medical intuitive. And she's able to assess a person's energy, give the information to a doctor or nurse practitioner, those who can diagnose, and then they use that as part of their diagnostic. And she's even done original research, which was highly statistically significant.
Yes, yes. We know it's the only way. You have to collaborate with somebody who is willing to listen to you, to whom you already proved that you are right in a lot of situations, and then willing to be your spokesperson. Right? Because otherwise it's I will not propagate it. And as we said already, everything could be expressed through its three vibrational forms, holograms, and could be used for information. There are two major, let's say, tools that I'm using: holograms, and if I need quick. It's a pendulum. But pendulum, can we talk about pendulum a little bit?
Absolutely,
so
yes.
That's the most handy thing that we can have. It has to be just something that hanging down, okay? Like that, okay? Whatever you like, whatever, it doesn't require specific pointing end or specific shape. I heard somebody was taking even courses where people were taught that each shape allows us separate different shape allows us to go into a specifically deep level of reality. I couldn't laugh because it would be very very unpolite. But you don't need, you just need something to hang in on a thread or chain. And when you ask your question, you go anyway to cosmic hologram, to David's Bohm hologram, because information is there. We can use all kind of different vocabulary. We anyway touching storage of information, and we mentioned about Akashic records last time, and I was mesmerized when I first time heard about them when I was 18, 20 years in Russia, and I wanted, but how? Nobody was telling you. It was a legend, right? And when I got into vibration world of subtle energy, this is when I said, oh my God, this is Akashic records, and it's available to anybody. You just need to ask. To understand that first and accept that information about past, present, and future is stored somewhere. Then we can pull out anything. And because we're concentrating on some kind of object, subject of our interest, our concentration automatically will go into resonance with reliable vibrations stored in that ocean. It's infinite. It's absolutely infinite.
Can you just explain a little bit to those who might be new to this? And like we talked before we recorded here today, that everybody has different definitions or terms for sometimes something that we're talking about here today. What do you mean about resonance, and what do you mean that we can go into resonance with it?
Let's talk about muscle test. When this medication is in resonance with us, it is good for our problem, then doctor won't be able to push naturopath or whatever who is doing that. For that, we don't need to have degree and certificate. Wouldn't be able to push hand down because hand became much, much stronger.
Right, you're talking about the muscle energy testing, sometimes referred to as applied kinesiology.
Right, right. So the same thing, like in regular world of solidity, resonance increasing amplitude. The same happening in the vibrational world of subtle energy. If we concentrate, and as we said, we don't need to be a professional yogi, highly professional in that, to be able to concentrate. We have these images anyway. This is how our memory, our mind is working, and how we interact with this storage that is outside of us. But we can have say to ourselves, why can't I check whatever I want to analyze? Anything is stored there anyway. So moment when you concentrate and not think about what I'm going to cook for dinner or what I'm going to wear because it's raining there. You concentrate on your task, what you want to find out in a hologram of as a vibrational form of any object, subject of our interest. So concentration, It's immediately could be pulled out. Because it's very increasing amplitude to the level that we can sense. We talked about it last time. When I walk in my room, I don't know how things vibrate. I'm not psychic. I'm trained. So I switch on when I need it. And it's such a subtle vibrations that you do not sense them. Normal person, not psychic. Do not sense them, okay? Unless you want to find out about something that I passed by in my room and I start to think about this object, subject, okay? And I say subject because intangible things could be expressed in a hologram, like thoughts. I want to know what kind of mood was a week ago between these two people having lunch together and what was happening between two of them? Hologram of that place, hologram of these two people will give me idea, was it a friendly discussion, was it an aggressive discussion? Intangible, okay? It's a training. So you pull out any whatever you want to analyze, and you can I have two ways to hang this subject object of my interest in front of me on a inner air, okay, and use my hand to sense what kind of vibrations coming from.
Would you say that it's also that you're using a bit of your imagination, your focus, your intention, you're pulling it out of the field, shall we say, the cosmic hologram, but it's also using your consciousness to interact with it?
Sure. But when you accept and when you make it part of your daily living, you don't need to think, cosmic hologram, I am going to resonance. You just bring up this subject. I want to know about, all the sun lives in Europe. And every, like now they're traveling with three kids with a trailer around Europe. He took a few months off, three kids and his wife traveling. So he sends me each time when they plan ready to move from the site, the photographs, let's say, of 3, 5, 6 different campsites in different places. And my task is to find the best place for them. So I see this photograph and I would say, I would transfer it into the frame, small frame on a piece of paper, rectangular, small, tiny, like that. Okay? And then I would put the name mentally, the name of that place into the hologram. And then I go through 5 or 6, whatever I am given. Okay, so for people who is around, they see this just empty frame with a name in French, let's say that right now in France, or the name of the camp. But for me, it's a 3D picture. It has aura, it has quality specific. So I am measuring the, as usually, energy, like size of aura around each a rectangular hologram, even that I put only photograph, which is reflects just a small piece of that camp. This is the nature of holograms. You put two pieces of information and the rest will be completed automatically in autopilot. And this is why it's so precious, you know, because I have no idea what is behind that photograph. What do they have there? Have no idea. But it will be recorded automatically there, moment when I put a couple pieces of information. And then, when it's ready for me, I will check energy, size of aura with my pen, hand antenna, I call it. It's a frame on a paper, so I draw a horizontal line to go toward this frame with my pen hand antenna. I use left one because I suggest people who right-handed to use a different hand, because to break the circle of what is writing we use in all our during our life. It's a different way of registering information in my mind. Okay, so I start to move toward this frame, and at certain moment, at some distance from the frame, I will bump into the wall. And it's a universal sign that you hit the wall of aura. And then I put a dot, okay, on a paper. And then I check each of them, and I choose the best one. Or I can say, I put also images, and of course this is what I'm doing, not only quality of place, or first quality of place, and then I put images of these three kids and their parents, and I say which one is the best for them, and I do again, and I find which one has the largest aura, and that will be my choice. But this is a simple kind of simple method that anybody can do, but first they need to use to know how to find size of aura, and this moment of stumbling at the wall, okay? That will be everywhere. So this is information. It's automatically completed.
So your son, daughter-in-law, and their three children have been having a great time because they keep coming back to you for recommendations on campsites.
I am already a proven source. I choose the best schools, the best kindergartens, the best doctors, the best medication, whatever. So I don't need to prove myself anymore. In this field, I'm kind of accepted.
Yeah. People can use these methods to gather more information when making choices, right? Because there are people who, every day, all of us have to make many choices in a day. What we're going to wear, what we're going to eat for breakfast, for lunch, how we're going to spend our time. Do we work, play? Who do we choose to spend time with? Do we spend time alone? And you're suggesting these are other ways to use our intuitive psychic knowing to access these holograms to live a better life.
Yeah, but I started and not finish about pendulum because we needed to touch the property of hologram because information comes from that cosmic hologram. It comes naturally from David Bohm's description that you would call it cosmic hologram. And this is what I was calling it from 2004. You can't use another words if you based on David Bohm's ideas. Pendulum is fantastic. We can pull out any needed information if we concentrate on it, right? It's a training. We need to be absolutely neutral. your vocabulary, my vocabulary, point zero state of mind, when nothing interferes with getting information. It's just information, not my attitude to information. So it is prerequisite, controlling of your mind and thoughts in any analysis of any, even simple, funny game kind of that we are involved, where to go, this movie to watch or that movie to watch, yeah, to go to this party or not to go to this party. So this is and about serious things. It's this is it. A very interesting thing about holograms. That notion of time on that vibrational world of subtle energy is absolutely different from what we used to. In the world where we live, we deal with three categories of time. Past is gone, irretrievable. Future is unknown. In that deepest level of reality, it's absolutely different. And first you understand this when you start to deal with holograms, when you pull out information from the past. You understand, it's there, okay? Or what is around the corner, meaning future? Is it good to go to the right or better go to the left? It's a future, right? And it could be extended future or next step future, but it's future. Category of time doesn't exist there. It's one time. Hologram doesn't have compartments for past, present, and future. It's all together. And it's an inactive phase, inactive state. And in thought as a system, Bohm was saying that past is not totally gone and irretrievable. Past is woven, coded in the vibrations stored in the cosmic hologram and only waiting for trigger. And trigger is a thought factor when we start to think about it. Then we kind of, as we said already, we go into resonance with needed vibration at no time. That's amazing. I am in that field for 35 years altogether, even more, 2 years in Russia. And it still mesmerizes me how fast, at no time, information comes to us.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we need to understand. Bohm said it's an inactive state. And we people have no idea when they start to think again and again about tragic moments in their life, about situations that have been very harmful for them. Past is not gone. They make this past alive, pulling it out by our thoughts. And because everything is interacting, it's inevitable that a hologram of that situation starts immediately to interact with you again and again and again. Before we get into the knowledge of that world, we have no idea. We have no idea how thoughts are working, how effect of thoughts on us.
Mm-hmm. Because a hologram is a thought form, can be considered a thought form as well?
Yeah. But hologram is a vibrational, and thoughts are vibrations. Okay? Vibrational form of any subject, object of our interest. And if I'm thinking about the tragic things, I'm making them alive again and again, and it makes me go through it again and again. And then you have to think, is it a good idea or not? Or I should kind of control my thoughts. It's still there, but at least knowing that thoughts making alive and create this kind of chemical reaction between hologram and us, maybe we will start to think differently, you know?
Right. So if I understand you correctly, you're saying that we can gather information from these holograms, past, present, future, and at the same time, we can interact with these holograms or thought forms through our thoughts, our consciousness, our intention, and impact them as well.
Yeah, and impact ourselves too.
Yes.
Bohm was saying that future is not totally unknown, but it could be to some extent analyzed and even been chosen. And we all have scenarios about our destiny that was created by our parents, our teachers, good and bad teachers, who didn't understand us at all, but still were proclaiming this is what this person, this student can do and cannot do, and dreams, our own dreams. Everything creates scenarios for future. We have laid out a vast of different scenarios, and this is where our freedom is for me. This is up to us which scenario to follow or even invent something absolutely not in the realm of our previous life, kind of for our life, what we were even thinking about the self. I don't know. I was not thinking about. I wanted to be a medical doctor. My parents hated that idea. By the way, I wanted. It was a kind of very big dream, but I changed scenario. Like you changed scenario, you started to do your medical intuition. You started to do very alternative things. So we jumped from one scenario that we started to follow to something completely different. And this is where our freedom is.
Yes. How can people trust the information they're receiving from these holograms?
Not an easy question. Only what I can say. Never start from life importance equations. Even if you use pendulum, you need to be sure that you follow all prerequisites of controlling mind, controlling emotions, dealing with these holograms in a proper way, then when you're sure, I know nothing is moving in my head, no glimpse of thoughts, I control my emotions. And sometimes, by the way, it's not easy. There are situations in life when we need to do special preparation for asking ourselves important questions. To drink a cup of tea, to take a shower, to go for a walk, to do breathing, something to make yourself balanced at that time, because we have to be balanced emotionally when we have questions. And when we kind of passed by that phase, then we can ask all kind of questions that we have, but not before. So you start, should I go to this movie or not, or to that movie? And your pendulum saying, go to this and not to go to that. So you go to what maybe it said not to go to and get idea. Was it right or not? We need a proof. And yeah. It's a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game. We need proof.
Right. So you use whatever method works for you. You've mentioned working directly with the holograms through your mind, consciousness, feeling them, using a pendulum. There's all sorts of different, some people might refer to them as divinatory methods, such as maybe even like tarot cards or the I Ching, and then gather the information, follow it, see what happens, and then over time, you can use sort of that hindsight as 2020 and see what worked, what didn't, and trust it more as you go forward. And also, my experiences with intuition, psychic functioning, is that the more that we allow and trust the information, the more that it can flow to us. And I think that as we doubt it, we can block it. And I like how you suggest that we start with something more playful or fun when getting in information versus a heavy decision, you know, like what method should I use for this cancer treatment, or, you know, those kinds of things to allow it to be more of a playful
Absolutely.
Experiment.
This is a way how we train. We let our intuition know that we value it. So we use different tools. We use hands. We use a pendulum. We use holograms. Using this alternative kind of set of tools, and it will be more and more helpful to us. And by the way, it's not only that we pull information out of cosmic hologram and we analyze. It speaks to us itself.
Mm-hmm.
What are our dreams? They are sometimes very important, carry important information that somehow we tapped into cosmic hologram. For me, it's a cosmic hologram, nothing else. or synchronicity events that are incredibly powerful.
Right. And they can also provide guidance, validation, support.
This is a guidance. This is exactly guidance. And looking back, you think, if you would have not took in consideration what happened to you, it's sometimes much removed in time when you can evaluate what was really it was speaking to you about. Because synchronicity events is like a very unusual road signs painted in absolutely fantastic colors that never happened while you're driving the car, that you have to pay attention to. And it's up to you. If you ignored, I'm sorry. Something happened. Something you didn't give opportunity that could have happened, or you did not have warning. And these dreams, synchronistic events and visions that we sometimes have, everything, it talks to us. But we can develop some kind of methodological way of dealing with information, not to wait when this gift falls onto your lap. You can bring information to us and to ourselves.
Olga, is there anything else you want to share today about accessing these psychic holograms?
I'm absolutely convinced that when we know how these energy functions, because it's a completely different set of laws of nature functioning there. When we know how this energy functions, we can do things that would never even come to our mind of doing. Never. Would I be able to think, not knowing about energy, about holograms, check the condition of, let's say, my friend in Germany, if she is not calling me because she's sick, okay? I can do it because I have hologram. I have things that, because of knowledge of how this energy works, I know that distance is not an obstacle. Okay? And I can do to find information from this cosmic hologram anytime and anywhere because I know how this energy functions to some extent. When I say I know, you have to understand it's to some extent because so much is still will be discovered. This is my kind of work with what is already known, but even that is enough.
When we're gathering this information from the hologram, we're assessing or getting information that is the best for this moment in time, right? Because if we were to check in a week later or 2 weeks later, perhaps we might get a slightly different outcome. We might not, or we might. What do you think about that?
If we're checking out, I'm talking for myself, right? If we're checking out something in the future, it's usually the same answer will be today, tomorrow, the best outcome, or something that I should not do. It will be today, tomorrow, and a month later. But I'm talking for myself. Maybe somebody who would construct question in a more different way. I'm precise. What should we do this or should we do this?
So when you're asking the knowing of the hologram knows all the variables or possible choices that might impact the outcome of that situation.
Yeah. In my mind, I am searching for the most possible answer. What you're saying has life too. Like people go to psychics. Some people like to do it, right? And not following just advice and getting some kind of maybe wrong, absolutely advice, even that person is capable. Could be that person, I always check, if somebody wants to go, I check quality of as a human being. Okay? Not only abilities to tap into the future or past, but human qualities. And if person is very unkind and very controlling, I would not recommend to go because these people could tap into what maybe not the reality. Because of their nature, because of, I don't know even, but it's this is exactly what you're saying. It could be for this person, answer will be that, for that person will be answer that. For me, asking myself the same question, it will be completely different.
Right.
When we ask ourselves, what is the most probable outcome? I found it helpful and practical.
Olga, it's been such a delight speaking with you again today. Thank you so much for all that you've shared with us. You've given us a lot to consider and many ways to assist us in our lives. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much, Amy. I really, really appreciate being invited.
My pleasure. And for those of you watching or listening, thank you for being with us because you are the reason that we are here.
Book 2 in the New Thinking Aloud Dialogues book series is a tribute to parapsychologist Russell Targ celebrating his 90th birthday. You can now download a PDF copy or order a beautiful printed copy of Issue 6 of the new Thinking Aloud magazine.